Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. With heart and voice, we shout Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Good morning. Glad that you're all here to worship with us today. If you are a guest, we are blessed that you are here. If you're a first-time guest, we're doubly blessed that you're here. And if you've not already done so, stop by our greeting center. We have a gift for you. We want to make sure that you get it. And if you're worshiping with us online, we're delighted that you're joining us there. Catch the little pop-up box. We know that you're worshiping with us. On each row, you will find our attendance pad. If you would fill that out, pass it down to your neighbor so they can fill it out. You can drop it in the offering plate as it comes by. So I have a few announcements that I'd like to lift up. So the first is, immediately after this service, we start our Happy Hoppy Easter party. Yeah! Woo! And we're so excited. So immediately after this, there's going to be egg hunts, there's going to be bouncies, there's a petting zoo with a donkey, for obvious reasons. And so be sure and come and be a part. We'll have some food. It's going to be a lot of fun to come and be a part of that. So Palm Sunday obviously kicks off Holy Week, and we are going to have two services for you. The first is on Maundy Thursday, where we will remember the first Last Supper, and that is always a really special moment for me. It's one of my favorite communion evenings, and I hope that you will come and be a part of that. And then Friday, our choir will be making a presentation, and we'll be remembering the crucifixion of Christ. And look, if you don't come on Thursday, if you don't come on Friday, sometime during Holy Week, it's really important that you stop and that you think about the price that was paid for you to be forgiven. If you just go from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, you've gone from a parade to a party. And there's a lot of important stuff that happens in between. So whether you come to worship with us or not on Thursday or Friday, I do invite you to stop and pause, maybe read some scripture, and think about the price that was paid that you might be forgiven. So Family Promise is going to be here this week. They're actually arriving on the afternoon of Easter Sunday, and we need your help for that. So you'll find some more information about that in the bulletin. But we've got some spots. We need some evening hosts, some overnight hosts. And so if you would be a part of that, it's a very important ministry of our church, and hope that you'll be a part of that. So the men of our church, the Methodist men, are hosting a golf tournament on April 15th. You'll find some more information in the bulletin. There's also a larger flyer out in the commons area. And so whether you play golf or not, we invite you to come and be a part of it. There's going to be a dinner afterwards, and there will be a silent auction as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Hope that you'll come and be a part of it. And if you do play golf, you'll get to watch your pastor play a really bad game. That by itself might be worth the price of admission. So come and be a part of that. So, and then the Sunday after Easter, we're starting a new sermon series. We're calling it Woe, W period, O period, E period. And it's called Wesleyan Orthodoxy Explained. And we're going to take a look at part of the catechesis that the GMC has put together, and we're going to invite you to be a part of it. So each Sunday, we'll be looking at parts of the things that make up the basics of our faith. And we're going to gather on Wednesdays from 6 to 7. We'll study the idea that we talked about in the sermon. We'll give you scriptures, you'll be in a small group, and we'll discuss further things like the Trinity. And so invite you to come and be a part of that. I think it's a really great way to understand the basics of our faith, so you're all invited to that. I'd now like to invite you to stand up and greet your neighbor with the peace of Christ.
That's good. Okay, so I want to invite you all to meet someone very special. This is Miss Laura. Everybody say hi, Miss Laura. This is Laura Stinnett, everyone. She is our new Director of Family Ministries, and she has come to be with us and to work with the children and the youth, and we are just so excited that she is here, so welcome.
Good morning. I love seeing all of your smiley faces. Are y'all excited about the egg? Yeah. Happy? Yeah. Yeah? Are y'all going to share your candy with me?
No. Yeah. Kyle.
Boo, boo. So I want to tell a couple of things, but as we go on, I will share more about me. But there's two things that you need to know, first and foremost. The first thing is, actually there's three. The first thing is, I love Diet Coke. You will always find me with a Diet Coke. Not Diet Dr. Pepper, Diet Coke.
I like your shirt.
I don't have one right now, but you know what?
You like it?
There's one behind the guest desk waiting for me. Always. Secondly, I love cats. I have a cat. His name, you want to guess what his name is?
Rascal.
Rascal. Ella knew.
That would be funny. To
really?
Name cat.
Is he black and white? Whitish. And then thirdly, I am so excited to be with you.
Okay.
Wow. That's so cool. So, those are three things about me. One, I love Diet Coke, cats, and I am loving being here to get to know all of you, who you are, and y'all can get to know me.
Almighty Father, on this holy day of Palm Sunday, we remember your son's triumphant entrance into Jerusalem with people shouting praises and waving their branches. And we join them with our own praises. And yet we also remember that this wonderful parade for your son became another kind of parade before officials and the booing crowds. And instead of those crowds singing his praise, they are shouting to crucify him. Our hearts are broken by those very shouts and the pain and the suffering that he bore that day. And yet we know that it is because of his choosing to enter Jerusalem and take that path that there is hope, grace, love, and salvation for all. And there are still many in need of hope in our world. There are still many in need of your grace and your love. So many still in need of your salvation. God, send to us the people who need you, those who are searching for you. Help us to see them, to help them, and to invite them to come and see all the ways that you are at work in this place. Be with those, God, who are in our community who are hurting in any way, those who are in need of healing, those who are grieving loss, people who are hungry or homeless. God, we ask that you would equip us to help them. Draw us closer to you in this journey of Holy Week and help us to remember that price paid for our salvation. And most of all, grant us the assurance that you are always with us, that you walk with us for all of our days. Amen. It was so beautiful. I invite those who are assisting with offering to come forward. We come to our time of offering today. It is our opportunity to respond to God's amazing gift of grace and to do so with a cheerful heart. We are so grateful to all of you in the congregation for the ways that you give to God through this church so that we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus, so that we can be a symbol of God's love and grace for those who need to know it in this community. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you such thanks for the blessings in our lives. For everything that we have, we know, comes from you, and we return joyfully a portion of that that is already yours. We ask that you would bless it, that it would be sent into this community, and that we would be able to, through those gifts, represent you to the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's Palm Sunday, beginning of our really busy time around here. This is the Sunday in which Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So we have been doing our Vantage Point sermon series throughout Lent, where we have sort of looked at really everything that transpired after the triumphal entry. So we're sort of going backwards in our timeline today to that triumphal entry, and we've looked at sort of how people have experienced the last week of Jesus' life on earth. We've looked at what the Jewish authorities, the Jewish establishment might have seen. We've looked at what the Romans might have seen. We've looked at what the disciples might have seen and the women followers of Jesus. And last week we looked at what Simon of Cyrene had seen. Today we're going to take a look at what the crowds might have seen as Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So Jesus is coming into Jerusalem and he knows he's coming to die. The disciples haven't really quite caught up to this yet. They're not aware of what is transpiring. And, you know, the idea that the Jewish people had of a Messiah was that the Messiah would come and throw out the oppressing Romans. And that's probably what the disciples were thinking about as they were seeing this triumphal entry of Jesus. They were thinking, this is the beginning. This is the beginning where he's going to take those Romans and he's going to throw them out. They really had not come to the realization that Jesus had come to Jerusalem to die. So our text today that we're going to look at is the triumphal entry from the Gospel of Mark. It appears in really all four of the Gospels in varying forms. But hear these words from the Gospel of Mark, verses 11, 1 through 10. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this Palm Sunday text, Jesus is making his triumphal entry. It's all likelihood, in all likelihood, it's a pretty modest affair. Not a huge parade. It wasn't really a huge event in the life of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem would have been inundated with literally hundreds of thousands of pilgrims coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus sets this up in such a way that I have zero doubt that Jesus was drawing on all of the anticipation of what the Messiah should look like, all of the Jewish traditions about the Messiah. The whole triumphal entry is just, it is full of symbolism about what Jews were expecting from the Messiah, except they were expecting that he was going to throw out the Romans, the oppressors, but he didn't. So Jesus is entering Jerusalem, and he's on a donkey, and he's on a donkey on purpose because he is recalling Zechariah 9:9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious. He is humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey." So he is recalling to them this Zechariah 9:9. The people are shouting things from Psalm 118. It goes on. The symbolism goes on. Jesus is entering Jerusalem from the east. In order to get to the temple, Jesus has to go through a gate that is called the Golden Gate, or the Mercy Gate was also what it's called. And the doors had two names. It was a double gate. One was the door of mercy, the other was the door of repentance. And it was believed by the Jewish people that the Shekinah of God, the mist that covered the temple when God was present in it, came in from the east and in through that mercy gate. Jewish tradition said that the Messiah would enter through that very gate. Jesus is entering on a donkey, symbolizing that he is coming in peace. The people putting cloaks and branches down are reminiscent of King Jehu coming in. Jesus is purposefully eliciting the memories of Jewish kings of the past. But did you know that there was another parade in Jerusalem that day? It would have come from the west. And it would have been the arrival of Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea. And it would have looked very different than this little humble gathering of a man riding in on a donkey with people shouting, "Save us now, save us now." No. There would have been troops of 1,000 or more in this parade. Pontius Pilate was coming in to be there for the Passover. It was a time that really made the Romans nervous because they had all of these Jews gathered together, remembering their heritage, remembering that they had been set free from slavery in Egypt. And so Pilate was there to make sure that everybody knew that he was in charge, that he was the boss. The Pilate parade comes in from the west, while the kingdom parade comes in from the east. The kingdom parade talks about being humble, practicing your faith. The Pilate parade talks about the powers of the world, what it values: might, authority, fear, oppression. There were two parades in Jerusalem, and I have no doubt that the people that were a part of the kingdom parade, the Jesus parade, also saw at least parts of the Pilate parade. So my question for you this day is, which parade are you a part of? Are you buying into what the world is selling? Are you buying into what the world is telling you is important? Or are you buying in to the things that Jesus is telling us, the things of the kingdom, about humility and love and service to others? Which parade are you a part of? Now you're all thinking, "Oh, Mike, I'm so with the kingdom parade. I'm not going to be a part of that world parade. I'm a part of the Jesus parade. That's where I want to be." But before we get too far down the road, let's take a look at the text from the crowd 5 days later. This is a passage from Mark 15, 7 through 15. Jesus has been taken to Herod. Herod has returned him to Pilate. Pilate has finally passed a sentence upon him. And it's the tradition that at the Passover, one person be pardoned, one person be set free. And that's where our text picks up. Now, a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?"
for he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. It's the word of God for the people of God. So Jesus was returned from seeing Herod, and Pilate's got it figured out. He understands that the Jewish establishment are trying to get him to do their dirty work, to kill this Jesus whom they see as a threat. And Pilate tries to get the crowd to let him release Jesus. And we read that the chief priests stir them up to get Barabbas, this criminal, released. And they shout, "Crucify him," not once, but twice. And Scripture tells us they got louder. They got more adamant about crucifying Jesus. I want to know what happened in those 5 days to those people who were a part of the Jesus parade, who were shouting, "Hosanna, save us now." And now they're standing there yelling, "Crucify him." What happened in those 5 days? Some scholars will tell you that there were perhaps two different groups, and that might be. But still, I'm sure that there were some of those people that were there. And what is absolutely clear in Scripture is no one spoke up. Not one person said, "Wait a minute, he's done miracles. He's done these amazing things. I believe he is the Messiah. I believe he is the Son of God." Not one word was said by the crowd in defense of Jesus. It can be hard when we're a part of a crowd that is moving in some direction that we know we shouldn't go, but yet we allow ourselves to be swept up by the crowd. We can find ourselves confronted by a culture that is telling us, "This is how you should believe. This is how you should act." And it can be difficult to go against the tide. But the truth of it is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you should look a little different than the crowd. You should go against some of the things that the world is telling you is important. You should stand out as being a little different than the rest of the people who don't have faith in Jesus Christ. As a follower of Jesus, we shouldn't be a part of the crowd. We shouldn't be just a face. As a follower of Christ, we should stand out as one who serves others, who loves others boldly, and with grace. The world is telling you what it wants you to believe. Which parade are you going to be a part of? You going to be a part of the world's parade or the kingdom's parade? If you choose the kingdom parade, you should look different. You should act different than all the others that are a part of the world's parade. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, We so often run across pressure from peers or friends or our culture that tells us what we should believe or how we should behave, and we know that those are not the ways that you would choose for us. And yet, Father, we choose them. Help us in our unbelief. Help us to stand out from the crowd. Help us to be your servant in this world, that we will serve others boldly, that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. Help us to deny all that the world is telling us we should be. Help us to become that the kingdom parade is calling us to be. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So today we're going to celebrate communion. And just let me remind you that this table doesn't belong to the Methodist Church. It's the Lord's table. And all are welcome here. You do not need to be a member of this church. The bar is that you want to love Jesus. All are welcome at this table. We invite you all to come. We're going to serve you today by intinction. You'll receive a piece of bread. Take that bread and dip it into the cup, and then you eat it. And our prayer rail is open. After you've received the elements, you can stop and pray as long as you'd like. It is open to you. And if you need some gluten-free elements, we'll have a tray of those right there in the center. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
And glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. In love, you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, your love remained steadfast. You bid your faithful people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Easter feasts, that renewed by your word and sacraments and fervent in prayer and works of justice and mercy, we may come to the fullness of grace that you have prepared for those who love you. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to redeem the world. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in our likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He took upon himself our sin and death and offered himself a perfect sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will those assisting with communion please come forward?
We have gathered here at your table, and we are reminded of the price that was paid, that we might be free from sin, free from the consequences of death, that we might have eternal life. Almighty God, we are so grateful for this gift, which is so undeserved, and yet it is one that you have made freely available to all. Father, we ask that you would help us to go out into the world and to share the good news of your love and your grace, and that salvation is available to all who need simply believe. We pray this in Jesus' holy name, and all God's children said, amen. Go forth from this place to lift high the cross with your life, with the way that you live, with the way that you love. Go forth from this place, lift high the cross that paid such a price for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.